Welcome here. My name is Matthew. If you are brand new to our services, I want to add my welcome. I'm so glad you're here. If you are new to Jesus, so glad that you're with us today. I want to also thank Pastor Janet. She preached last week, and so grateful for her sermon on leadership. I got a chance to go away for a few days to be with my family in the United States. Just myself, I traveled down to New Mexico, where my family's from Oklahoma, but my dad had he's a painter, so he had an art show. And it was really exciting for my dad. So I got to be there for 4 days, but I'm just really grateful for Janet and her teaching on leadership. So I am today very excited that you're here because we switched a week. I didn't realize that Baptism Sunday was actually November 21st. And so today we're going to be looking at the gift of tongues. So we're a week early. I know some of you had put November 21st on your calendar for the week on tongues, and ta-da, it's a week early. So we are in this series, The Gift of the Spirit. We dropped the S on gifts of the Spirit because we wanted this whole series to be about Him, His nearness, His grace, His empowering presence. We want all of this to be about Him. And today is no different. As we look at the gift of tongues, really what we want to do is we want to look at the gift of Him, of who He is. And He is God's empowering presence in our life. And we need Him. And when we've been praying earlier this morning about what God would do here today, I just was sensing, in the last number of weeks, sensing a real lack of hope for many of us. And, you know, the days are getting shorter and it's getting a bit darker, quite rainy. Hopefully you all have your canoes and your kayaks and you're doing well out there on the roads with so much rain. But there's a sense of lack of hope. And I want this morning to be an opportunity for you to experience the hope that the Spirit can bring, the hope that He has not left you alone, the hope that He comes alongside you and empowers you and gives you gifts so that you would know Him and know how loved you are. So I hope today is all about that hope. Now, let's join the disciples. This is 2,000 years ago. They don't have much hope. They're in a locked room. They've locked the door. They're afraid of Jewish leaders. And Jesus shows up in their midst, and He gives them the gift of the Spirit. So let's listen to the book of John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And with that, He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." North Langley, if there's any fear in your life, if you feel like you're behind a locked door, watch Jesus step into your midst today, this morning. And He says, "Peace be with you." And He gives you the gift of His Spirit. So Jesus, we stand here. We sit here, we're in this room, and we're dealing with fear. Some of us are dealing with isolation. Some of us have felt we're just pulling back away from others. Lord, in our polarized age, where there's lots of anger, where there's lots of brokenness, Lord, we need You. And right now, we thank You for the gift of Your very presence. Jesus, we know You're here. You're with us in this room. And we pray that You would breathe on us again and give us this incredible gift, the gift of God in us, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank You. We love You. We're listening. We're open. Amen. All right. North Langley, today, as we dive into the gift of tongues, we are in different places. I'm sure you would assume that, but let's go ahead and say it. We're all in different places here in this room when it comes to this particular gift. Some of us, when we hear someone talking about the gift of tongues, we have our guard up because maybe when we were younger or in previous experiences, we've had some bad experiences with the gift of tongues. It was a gift that was forced on some of us. It was a litmus test for whether we were Christians or not. Some of us felt like second-class citizens if we didn't receive this gift. And in the language of some of you, a couple of you, that you felt passed over You felt unseen by God. You felt like he somehow missed you in giving out this gift. So there's a pain. Some of us, on the other hand, grew up experiencing the joy and the beauty of the gift of tongues. We were either in a church setting or in a family setting or in a friendship setting or a youth group setting or whatever it was, and it has been nothing but good, but beautiful. For you, you probably can't even, try to figure out what life would look like without this gift. And so for you, it's been nothing but joy. And then there's another category, which is usually the category I find myself in, which is crickets. I didn't know anything. I did not grow up with this gift. I knew nothing. I knew no one who had the gift. I think I told you a few weeks ago, the very first person that I ever met who had said they claimed to speak in tongues was my friend. And I was 21 years old when he had gone for 1 year with this program called YWAM. If you're new to Jesus, that stands for Youth with a Mission. It's like a, it's a whole thing where kids go all over the world. And anyway, he came back and he said he had this 1 year experience and he was speaking in tongues. And I thought, oh no, right? Can we still be friends? Who is this guy? I've never heard of this speaking in tongues. You know, the odd thing is that I said I really love the word, but I think I was selectively just kind of flipping the page whenever the gift of tongues came up in Acts or in 1 Corinthians. So anyway, I say all that to say we're all on different pages. We're in different places. And I hope today that we together as a body, as a family in Christ, can get some clarity from the scriptures about what this gift is all about. Okay, ready? You're the 11 o'clock. You got extra sleep than the 9 a.m., okay? So you got to be ready. All right, the Apostle Paul, in Ephesians 5, he implores Christians to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And one of the gifts that we receive as we are filled with the Holy Spirit is the gift of tongues. How many of you have read the book Chasing the Dragon by Jackie Pullinger? Have any of you read that book? Yeah, two, three? Anyone on the side? This side, total fail. Oh, sorry, two. I would encourage you to read this book. Jackie Pullinger has spent her life in the city of Hong Kong ministering to some of the poorest in the city. At the age of 22, in 1966, Jackie, who was living in England, felt a push by God through a dream and a vision to leave England because God was going to take her on a new journey. He was leading her somewhere new. She bought a one-way ticket on a boat, and the boat from England went around Africa, went around India, and ended up in Hong Kong. But at each port that she stopped in, she felt God's Spirit say, no, not here, no, not here, no, not here. But when she arrived in Hong Kong, she felt God's Spirit saying, this is for you. This city is where you're going to get off. And so she got off there in Hong Kong, and she felt that God was drawing her to a particular part of the city called the Walled City. It was called Kowloon, the Walled City. And we have a picture here. This is 5 to 6 acres. There were up to 100,000 people living in this one section of the city of Hong Kong. No water, no electricity. It just continued to grow, but it would grow up. And the Chinese had a name for the walled city. It was called Haknam, which means darkness. There were triad gangs, there were drug smuggling, prostitution, total poverty, tons of heroin use in that area. And as she ministered in Kowloon, she really felt helpless. And it was in that context where she felt quite helpless in her own prayers. She wanted God to communicate his love and his life to the people of the walled city, but she didn't know how to pray or who to pray for. She felt very limited in her prayers. Someone, while she was there, within her first year, I believe, prayed for her to receive the gift of tongues. And so, every morning, she, in desperation, would wake up and would spend about 15 minutes every morning just simply praying in tongues. She started her day off praying in tongues. After about 6 weeks, she noticed something change. As she prayed for people, they started to give their lives to Jesus for the very first time there in the walled city. And she noticed that when she prayed, and she would pray for them as she spoke in tongues, that they would come off of an addiction to heroin without any pain. Now, just so you know, feel free to read the book, check it out. There's some videos on her life. It's just a powerful story. But as she would pray for those addicted to heroin, she knew that God was moving and working in and through the gift of tongues. Now, she writes about one man named Winston, and I want to tell you his story. Winston was a member of a triad gang in the Walled City. He, too, was addicted to heroin. And Jackie knew that he was interested in Jesus. And so she welcomed him into worship. He was kind of lingering outside the church that they were at, and she said, come on in. And so she said, why don't you start worshiping? And so he began to worship, and he began singing. And as he was singing in Cantonese, and he was singing that old Christian song in English. It's "Give me oil in my lamp." You know that one? "Give me oil in my lamp, keep it." There you go. You must have been a Christian in the 80s to know that. So he was singing that in Cantonese. He began singing, and then he started praying. And I want to read an excerpt of her book, Chasing the Dragon. She writes this, quote, "It was an extraordinary session. For the next moment, Winston began praising God in a new language. This was even more surprising as he had never heard about the gift of tongues from me, nor to my knowledge had he heard anyone else speaking in tongues. After about half an hour, he stopped. The miracle had taken place. He and I knew that he was completely cured of his drug addiction. He had come through withdrawal as he prayed." It's a powerful story. Here is a gift of the Holy Spirit, where God seems to take over in prayer, where God seems to give us words to pray, where God seems to move in power through his love, where an intimacy and nearness with God is experienced and enjoyed. So, let's talk about the gift of tongues. In the New Testament, as we read the scriptures, we encounter a Greek word, and the Greek word is glossa, which is translated tongue. And it can mean both a human language or a heavenly language. In Acts chapter 2, we see an example of the Holy Spirit gifting people a human language that they didn't previously know. At the Feast of Pentecost, many nations gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. So Jews from all over the Mediterranean came to the city, and many of them spoke in different languages. Then God poured out his Spirit on followers of Jesus, and they began to speak in a variety of these human languages that they didn't previously know. It's an intense story, and I want to read a section of Acts chapter 2 for you. In Acts chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, we read this. "Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." It's beautiful. It's incredible. Now, what is interesting here is that while this is the gift of tongues, glossa, what Acts 2, verses 6 and 8 say is that each person heard the truth in their own dialectos. It's where we get the word dialect. They heard it in their own dialect. Now, side note, there's a ton that we can say about Acts chapter 2. I would love to do a whole sermon on it. There's a whole bunch here about the reversal of the Tower of Babel in the book of Genesis, but we don't have that kind of time today, so we got to keep moving. But the point here is that the gift of tongues was a supernatural ability of ordinary Galileans to miraculously speak in new languages, real human languages. It's beautiful. Do you remember a few weeks ago when my friend Lori shared her story here on stage? Were you guys here? When we listened to her story, she told this incredible story of these friends of hers. She had traveled to Brazil, and she was in Brazil, and friends were praying for her. So just to remind you of the story, friends were praying for her, and many of her Brazilian friends were praying in tongues for her. Now, she recorded that session. She recorded it, and when she went back to the United States, she played it for one of her friends, who was a Bible teacher, and he knows Hebrew. He knows how to speak Hebrew. And as her friend was listening to the recording, he heard Hebrew. Now, the Brazilians were speaking in tongues, but he heard Hebrew. And he heard the phrase, daughter of the king, you are loved. Daughter of the king, you are loved. I know many of you remember this from a few weeks ago. What a beautiful way for Lori to hear that she is loved. And catch this, a Brazilian prays in tongues. It's recorded. She goes back to America. An American friend who knows Hebrew hears it and then shares it with her. How beautiful is that? God used like multiple people to communicate, daughter of the king, you are loved. Daughter of the king, you are loved. How beautiful. Now, she could have just heard, daughter of the king, you are loved in English. But how much cooler is that story, right? I mean, when you hear it that way, you're like, okay, I think God is speaking to me, you know? It's like, that gives me some clarity. Now, as we keep reading in the book of Acts, chapter 10, chapter 19, you can read them on your own time. And then later in 1 Corinthians, chapters 12 and 14, we encounter a different form of the gift of tongues. Now, if you have 1 Corinthians 14, feel free to open it. We're going to spend some time in that particular chapter. But I want to read you the first two verses, 1 Corinthians 14, 1 and 2. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. Hold on to that. Mysteries by the Spirit. Go back a chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, and listen to verse 1. Paul writes, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." Tongue of angels? An angelic tongue? Hold on to that. Then, back in 1 Corinthians 14, let's read verses 14 and 15. "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding." Notice, Paul is describing a language where his spirit prays, but his mind is unfruitful. Now, many of us, just keep that verse in front of you, many of us would pause and go, okay, well, if I'm praying with my tongue, so my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful, then you would go, you would assume that verse 15 would start with, "and so I stopped praying that way." Do you know what I mean? It's like, well, if my mind's unfruitful, then I'm done, you know? And what does 15 say? So what will I do? I'll pray with my spirit. I'll do that. Paul's not saying in verse 14 that that's something bad. He's saying in verse 15, he's saying, I'm going to do it, but I'm also going to pray with my understanding. I'm going to do both. So you notice there's two different kinds of prayer here that he's describing. So let's add these three passages up. There seems to be a kind of prayer where we utter mysteries by the Spirit. Interesting. There seems to be a kind of prayer where we pray in a tongue of angels. Interesting. There seems to be a kind of prayer where my spirit prays, but my mind is not connected to the prayer. And yet that's an okay thing in Paul's mind. Paul is describing what many around the world have discovered or have found. And it's a private prayer language, a beautiful prayer language, a heavenly prayer language. So, what I want us to see, that in the New Testament, the gift of tongues, glossa, is both miraculous human dialects, incredible, and miraculous heavenly languages. Therefore, the definition I like best is this: tongues are spirit-inspired speech. So that's all it is, spirit-inspired speech. It could take a few different forms, but that's what it is, spirit-inspired speech, where we, the person speaking, we don't know what we're praying or speaking, but the Spirit does. So let's dive in a little bit more into this idea of a heavenly language. Notice that prayer in tongues is directed to God. Did you notice that? 1 Corinthians 14:2 again. "For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God." Pretty clear, right? They speak to God. You see, if I speak in a human language, like Spanish or French or German or whatever, I'm talking to you, right? I'm talking to other people. That's why I'm speaking it. But tongues are different. It seems to be directed to God. So it's like a prayer language. To speak in tongues is not to speak to another human being, but it is to speak to God. We may not know what we're saying, but the Spirit does. The Holy Spirit knows. And tongues are not a mantra. It's not a meaningless mantra, a word that is repeated to gain more power. That's not what this is about. We don't believe that we'll make God hear us by our vain repetition. That's not it, right? Jesus warns about that in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, you're not going to be heard because of your many words. No. That's not what it is. See the ancient Canaanites were to call down their god Baal. They were trying to wake him up, right? And so it was all about the many words that they could just rouse their god Baal out of his slumber. That's not how we relate with God. God is intimate. He's near. He listens. He loves you. He's very ready to hear your heart, right? So this is not a mantra. This is not just empty babbling. While the language is mysterious to us, it is very clear to God. The gift of tongues is that the Spirit is actually using heavenly speech to communicate to God. It's real communication. David Garland, New Testament scholar from Talbot Seminary, he writes this: Paul understands tongues to be a language inspired by the Spirit and not a non-cognitive, non-language utterance. It is not simply incoherent babbling in the Spirit. Tongues consist of words which, though indecipherable, are not meaningless syllables strung together. The manifestation of the Spirit that we read about in the New Testament is genuine speech that communicates clearly to God. While I may not know through my mind what it is that I'm praying, it is genuine communication, communicating from the Spirit to the Father himself. And some of us have experienced the beauty of this gift in our quiet times with God in prayer. And I'd like to just take a moment to share with you about the very first time that I experienced this praying in tongues early one morning. It was a number of years ago. It was, I think, around 2006. I had a lot of anxiety in my heart. We were going through a season as a church family that was quite stressful. We did this campaign called Vision 2017. Even when I say it, some of you go, whoo. But it was, God moved in beautiful ways. But it was a stressful time. Can I get an amen? Yes. Some of you are like, amen. It was a stressful time. We were built onto this building, right? We renovated the building. We planted our Yorkson campus. There was some staffing things going on. And I was just stressed. And I was carrying a lot of anxiety. And I woke up one morning, and I was in my living room, and the house was quiet, and I was there by myself, and I just tried to pray, and I really couldn't pray. I felt like I had come to an end of my words. Have you guys experienced that before? You don't know how to pray. And in that moment, this dead-end feeling in my prayers, I had never heard tongues prayed out loud, but I opened up my mouth, and all of a sudden, this prayer language came out. Now, just to describe the moment, I did have to intentionally open my mouth. I had done the Alpha course enough to hear some of Holy Trinity Brompton's teaching on tongues. But of course, I didn't know what it sounded like, but I did open up my mouth. And when I opened up my mouth and started to speak, this language came out. And the most powerful thing happened. I sensed a profound peace and nearness with God in that moment. And I didn't know what I was praying, but there was this sense in which in the coming days, I noticed that coincidences were happening, right? You guys had those moments where you're like, huh, that's interesting. Things are starting to, God in his sovereignty is moving and he's answering prayer. And so for me, that first moment, and it's then since on and off again throughout the years has been part of my prayer time with the Lord. And I believe that this is how the Holy Spirit works. He loves us so much, and so when we come to an end in our prayers, he takes over. He helps us. Did you know that the word for the Spirit is parakletos in Greek? And it means he comes alongside us to help us. That's what it means. He's the helper. He's the comforter. He's the advocate. He comes alongside us and he helps us. And he goes, Matthew, I know that you have no idea what to pray for, so I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray on your behalf. I'm going to come to the Father. I'm going to intercede for you. And don't worry, just kind of, you know, you need to kind of back off. I know that you don't have words, right? I don't have words. Yeah, okay, I'm taking over, right? And he just loves me enough to do that for me. Have you ever reached a point in your prayer life where you don't know what to pray for? Jack Hayford says, quote, we reach a place of acknowledged limitation, right? We just cannot pray everything we want to pray. Some of you are going through profound moments right now in your life, whether it's grief or whether it's sickness or whether it's relational struggles, and you're going, I try to pray, I don't know how to pray, I can't even pray well enough into this situation. This is what Jackie Pullinger felt at Kowloon, right? This is what she felt. And at that moment of desperation, when we feel like we don't have prayers, the Holy Spirit comes alongside us, Parakletos, the comforter, the advocate, and he goes, I'm taking over. I'm taking over, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. Listen to Romans 8, 26. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. Look at that. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. That's been my experience. The Spirit praying for me with wordless groans. How awesome that the answers to my prayers are not limited to the eloquence of my prayers. Come on, North Langley, let me say that again. Praise the Lord that the answers to my prayers are not limited to the eloquence of my prayers. You know what I mean? I'm so glad that it's not about me and my eloquence. And I just go, I don't have anything to give, God. And he goes, that's okay. My Spirit's going to come alongside you. And he's going to pray on your behalf. And in your weakness, he takes over. He's so good. He's so good. This story kind of comes to mind every once in a while, and I had forgotten it for a while, and this week when I was working on this sermon, I thought about this moment when I was 8 years old, and I was 8 years old, and my family had been living in South America for a few years, and so I was already fluent in Spanish. I was going to go into grade 3. It was the summer between my grade 2 and grade 3 year, and I was with my grandfather in Oklahoma. We were going to spend a couple months at home in Oklahoma before we went back to Columbia. And so I was just visiting my grandparents, and my grandfather took me to KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken. And we were gonna get a bucket of chicken. And so we're waiting in line, and I remember this as a kid. There was a guy in front of us in line that only spoke Spanish. He was from Mexico, and he was having a very hard time ordering at KFC. With the lady who was helping. So she didn't know any Spanish, and he didn't know any English, and it was not going well, right? He needed his fried chicken, and he wasn't getting his fried chicken. And so I remember I was like with my grandpa, but I kind of stepped forward, and I started to help. And he just looks down at this little 8-year-old, and he's like, yeah, I want the whatever. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I was talking to her, and she was like, thank you. And as a little 8-year-old, I felt super helpful. And I was preaching this in the 9 a.m. and it dawned on me just a couple hours ago that this illustration is the example is that I'm the Holy Spirit in this example. It's a little bit of a prideful story to share, but anyway, so I'm like the Spirit, right, who like comes alongside someone and gives them words when they have no more words, right? And that reminds me of his great, gentle, loving work, is that he just steps alongside and communicates when we cannot communicate. And T. Wright writes this, many, many times when I have needed to pray into a particular situation, but had no idea of what I should be praying for, the use of tongues in private prayer has enabled me to hold people in situations within the love of God. Oh, it's beautiful. Holding people in situations within the love of God. That's what it's all about. I know that the gift of tongues can be mysterious to many of us, but I hope that we can begin to get clarity on the beauty of the Holy Spirit coming alongside us and praying for us. Can you see that really this gift is about Him, right? It's about Him. It's about him coming close, coming near, walking alongside, parakletos, advocate, comforter, helper. He helps us in our prayers. Now, I want to take a really quick, fun rabbit trail. And as always, I don't have time for it, but we're going to do it anyway. So, quick, fun rabbit trail. Some of you might wonder about the kind of science behind some of this. And I read this interesting summary of a scientific journal. So in November 2006, the issue of Psychiatry Research Neuroimaging came out. And in it, there's an article about psychiatrist Andrew Newberg of the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia and his colleagues who conducted research on people who pray in tongues. It's interesting. So they wanted to understand the brain when people prayed in tongues. So I'm just going to read a quote here. Quote, an intravenous injection of a radioactive tracer, first of all, that sounds terrible, a radioactive tracer provided a freeze frame of which brain areas were most active while people prayed in tongues, as indicated by increased blood flow. It's interesting. Okay, so here's what they found. There was a decrease in frontal lobe function with an increase in the parietal region. Now, not great at science, so did some digging, got some help. The frontal lobe allows you to feel in control, and the parietal section gives you a sense of self and how you relate to the world. Therefore, when someone is speaking in tongues, they relinquish control while they gain a very intense experience of relationship with God. That sounds accurate, right? Newberg said that with meditation, it's actually the complete opposite effect. That in meditation, the frontal lobe, you have a controlled focus and you lose a sense of self. He says that's not speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is the opposite. That this science is confirming that when you speak in tongues, you don't lose your sense of self. That when you speak in tongues, you give up control and you have a heightened nearness with God. Let's say that again. You lose control and you have a heightened nearness with God. Is that not beautiful? I mean, does that not describe prayer? I'm reading about it in like a science journal. It's prayer. I let go and I draw close with God. And that's what's going on in my brain. So let's talk about this gift, and let's talk about it in public, in the public manifestation of the gift. Now, while Paul prays in tongues in his personal prayer life, in the church at Corinth, he encourages the church that they need to remember the common good, right? He's passionate that tongues would be part of the common good. If tongues are going to be prayed in the corporate gathering of the church, there needs to be an interpretation. So let's open up, let's listen to Paul again, let's open up 1 Corinthians 14. Let's go to verse 5. He writes this, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. Now, also, go to verses 18 and 19. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, first of all, okay, pause there. Don't you just love that sentence? I'm like, Paul, that kind of sounds kind of prideful, but whatever, he's humble. Okay. I thank God that I speak in tongues. I mean, he's just being obvious. He's just like, well, let's just face it. I speak in tongues more than all of you. But verse 19, in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. So clearly here that he's writing that when tongues are interpreted, then they become a common good for the whole church. If there's no interpretation, then you can bite your tongue, right? Bite your tongue. Bite your glossa, right? You can control it. Paul seems to suggest that this is not some out-of-body experience that just takes over your life and you just like, I have to do it. No, you can control it. You can control this. So let's talk about the interpretation of tongues here. As we read 1 Corinthians, we notice that the interpretation of tongues is not necessarily a skill, that it's a gift. And there's a bit of a difference. So the interpretation of tongues is a manifestation of the Spirit. Remember the Greek word there is phanerosis. It's a manifestation. It's an empowering gift, not necessarily a human skill. Now, some of you are really good with languages. Some of you like speak like 5 languages, which is amazing, and we're all jealous. But that's a human skill. So a human skill is an ability to learn a language, so you buy your Rosetta Stone online kit or whatever. You take night courses in Spanish, French, German. You don't need the manifestation of the Spirit. You simply want, you need Google Translate, right, on your phone, right? But that's not what's going on here. The gift of interpretation is a manifestation. So it means that you didn't know the language. You don't know. Like if I were to talk to you randomly today, it's like, no, I don't know. I wouldn't normally know what they're saying, but in the moment, the Spirit moves, and somehow I have clarity about what's being spoken. It's a gift. It's a phanerosis. It's a manifestation, which means it's truly miraculous when you can understand it. I want to tell you a story. My friend Karen, who attends here, some of you know Karen, she told me a story about, and she's given me permission to share it today. About a number of years ago, she was in Bible college. She was in Bible college, and she was in a small group. And one person in this small group setting began speaking in tongues. And as she was speaking in tongues, a friend began to interpret, started to interpret. And neither of these people knew, what they didn't know, is that they were actually speaking Hindi. Hindi, like from India. So there was a third person in the group, and this third person was actually from India. He was a guy, he was in the group, and he's sitting there hearing tongues being spoken, but it's Hindi. These two non-Hindi speaking people, and she's interpreting it, and his eyes are big, and he's just going, uh-huh, yeah, this is accurate. Yeah, that's what she's saying. Yeah, that's a correct interpretation. It's like this three-way beautiful moment, and it's exactly the right interpretation in that moment. Now, these are not Hindi speaking people, but he confirmed it. God gave the gift of tongues to one girl. God gives the gift of interpretation to another, and this guy is encouraged because he's hearing God speaking and moving in this English-speaking small group in his own heart language, right? So how many people are blessed at that moment? Everyone's blessed, just a whole bunch of blessed, right, in that small group, right? It was like, what? Are you kidding me? This is so amazing, right? This is so cool. Now you might ask, why tongues and interpretation and not just preaching? Well, this seems like a little bit like Matthew. It feels like that kind of way of God speaking seems like the long way around the block, right? Like, why doesn't God just say what he wants in English, in an English-speaking small group? And I would say he kind of does that most of the time, right? Through preaching, through teaching, through prophecy. Yeah, most of the time it's in our language that we speak here. But what if God wanted to do something that gathered people together? That reminded us that we're a body, that reminded us that we're a team, that we're a family, right? That we're one body that works together. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be a picture of us not being, you know, lone rangers in our faith, but that God actually wants to use us together to hear his voice? Listen to Michael Green. Quote, why, one wonders, does God choose to use tongues plus interpretation sometimes instead of prophecy, which is so much more direct and needs no interpretation? The answer may, as we have seen, lie in the interdependence within the body of Christ, which God is seeking to deepen. A tongue speaker without interpreter is as useless to the body as interpreter without tongue speaker. Interdependence is crucial. I love that, right? Northlingly, this gets at our value of being a church who experiences life together. I mean, we've talked about that endlessly in the last number of years, that we do the Christian life together. This is about togetherness. And what a beautiful way for God to work, to give someone the gift of tongues and someone the interpretation so that the common good is experienced. Now, really quickly, is everyone supposed to pray in tongues? Well, just so you know, the answer to that question, there might be different answers depending on different people that you might trust. I want to just give you a little window into where I've landed on that question. No, I don't believe so. I don't believe so. But I believe that every Christian should remain open, ready to receive it, not closed off, not trying to quench the Spirit, but open. I just want to give you two quick reasons why I don't think the gift of tongues is necessarily a gift for everyone to experience. Paul says in a series of rhetorical questions in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, are all prophets? Are all apostles? Do all prophesy? Do all speak in tongues? Well, the answer to the question is no. Not everyone does all of these things. We're the body of Christ. Each of us has a part to play. Each of us have been given gifts for the good of the other. Now, we need to remain open, always open to receiving a new gift. For example, there's a gift in the Bible called the gift of administration. The Lord in his goodness has not bestowed upon me the gift of administration. And many people in my life are like, yes, we know, amen. Yeah, he has no gift of administration, right? And I'm like, okay, fine. Am I open to it? Yeah, like, should God move in my life? I want to get better at it. Like, and hopefully I'm kind of getting better at it. Like, I've been horrible in my life on gift of administration, but hopefully I can get better. There might be situations where I might use the gift of administration. I could be on in a situation where that's needed and the Lord gives me the ability to be a little bit more organized than I normally am in life, and that'd be great. I would love that. I need to remain open. I need to remain open. The second reason why I'm not sure it's for everyone is that Paul uses the same word in two different places in 1 Corinthians. So he says, I wish, and wish there is the Greek word thela. I wish, thelo, every one of you to speak in tongues, right? So you go, well, then everyone should. But he uses the same word in 1 Corinthians 7 about celibacy. He says, I wish, thelo, you were all like me, celibate. Now, Paul knows that not everyone is celibate. He thought it was a great gift from the Holy Spirit to be celibate. And he's like, I wish you could all experience this, right? I'm able to love the Lord and minister to the Lord in a way that all of you who are married have no ability to. I wish you were like me, you know, to experience the nearness with God in this way. But he says, you're not. And so in the same way, I wish every one of you would speak in tongues, right? So while everyone is not celibate, no, I don't believe everyone will necessarily speak in tongues. But again, to remain open to it, to remain open, to go, God, if you would like me to speak in tongues, I would love that gift. I really would. Because I love you. Because I want you. Because I need you to come alongside me. For some of you to come in desperation and go, would you please give me this gift because I need you to help me in my prayers. I've come to an end. I've come to a dead end. Would you take over, right? Would you, I relinquish control. Would you take over and would you pray on my behalf, interceding for me? Now, the good news is that the Spirit's already doing that, just so you know. The Bible says the Spirit is already interceding for you. Whether you know it or not in the gift of tongues, he's already doing it. He's doing that maybe even now, right? Praying for us to the Father, right? He's our advocate, you know, coming towards us in great love. Now, what is that? Was that what happened last week? We just need to throw that clock away. Okay. That was a prophetic word. We need to throw that clock away. Get rid of the clock. So anyway, but just please know God loves you. If you have not been passed over, right? You know, when we sense, oh, God just doesn't want to give me this gift. You have not been passed over, right? God loves you deeply. It's a wonderful gift, but it's not the main thing. The main thing is him, his presence in our life, receiving, thankfully, the gifts that he has given us, remaining open to his work and going, Lord, could you give me this gift of tongues? Now, just as we're beginning to land the plane here, if we do receive this gift, where do we practice this gift? And just for first off, it's just these beautiful mornings, early in the morning when you're in prayer, maybe late in the evening when you do your time alone with God. It's a beautiful prayer language. I would encourage you, if some of you are like, you know, how does this even start? Well, my encouragement is to open your mouth. Now, I'm not trying to be technical about how this happens. Some of you have told me your stories about how you started speaking in tongues, and it's beautiful, beautiful different stories. I want to let you know, for me, I had to open my mouth. I could have kept my mouth shut. I could have just been like, you know, but I opened my mouth, and it's like the Spirit moved in that moment. And so also in worship, as we're worshiping, some of you might be worshiping, and all of a sudden, you just feel led to begin to open your mouth and to speak in this language, and that's great. And so while we worship here in a bit, maybe the Lord would do that today as a great gift. And then also just, we would love to begin experiencing this in a corporate way as a church family. And we think one of the best ways to start is in our life groups and in our small groups and in what I would call circles of trust. Someone said, is that an official title of something that we're going to do in the future? I'm like, nope, just made it up for today. Circles of trust. It's just that in the New Testament church, these would have been house churches. People would have trusted one another in those settings. And so I think relationship is really important, and trust is important. And so we want to grow in our trust for each other. So maybe this is a way in which your life group this year and this next season is going to begin to experience some of this, or your Bible study together, or your apprentice group together, or whatever it is. I don't have all the answers. We're still trying to figure some of this out. We want to use good discernment, but here's the deal, North Langley. We cannot quench the Spirit. Let's not quench the work of the Spirit. Let's stay open, right? Let's remain open, open hearts with our, you can see the posture of our church family is just like this. Lord, we really want to receive all of you, and whatever gifts you want to give us, we love that. And we don't want to be, you know, one of the pictures as I've been preparing for this is the way a parent feels at a birthday or Christmas morning when the parent gives a bunch of gifts to their children. And the children open up a few of them and are like, woohoo! And they open up one and they're like, ugh, you know, I don't want this, you know? And I wonder, is that how we've treated one of the gifts, you know? And what does that do to the father's heart? It's like, actually, this gift is good. I wanted you to have this gift. You may not understand it, you know, you unwrap it and you go, what is this, right? But after time, you learn a little bit more about it and it becomes a beautiful gift. And so we want to say to the Father, Lord, whatever gifts you want to give us, we're ready to receive them. So a couple final thoughts here and then we're going to worship. First of all, remember, we do not have an 11th commandment in our Bible. Sam Storms talks about the 11th commandment he has lived by, which says, thou shalt not do at all what others do badly. You get it? Thou shalt not do what others do badly. Let's not live that way, right? And Sam Storm says, I don't want to live that way, right? Have you seen some of the other gifts used poorly? Have you seen leadership used poorly? Come on. You can say amen to that, right? We've seen leaders use their gift poorly. Have you seen teaching done poorly? Yes. Yeah, we've seen the gifts used poorly, right? But does that mean we throw them out? No. So just because you've noticed something done badly doesn't mean we stop leaning in. So let's not live by the 11th commandment. And finally, remember, as I said earlier, the great gift is himself. He's the great gift. And here in a moment, we're going to have our prayer team that come forward. And today we're praying, we're not just saying come forward if you want the gift of tongues. That's not what it is. It's come forward if you want the gift of himself. Right? If the fullness of him, for him to do whatever he wants in your life. So if you're just sensing, I want to be near to God, I want to yield my life in a deeper way to the work of God, would you come forward? We'd love to pray for you. If you have a particular need in your life, come forward. We'd love to pray for you. It's just to go, God, we want more of you. Would you be our comforter, our helper, our advocate? I'm feeling like I've reached a dead end. I don't know how to pray anymore. I feel like I have a lack of hope. I need hope in my life. Would you go to the prayer room? Would you pray for each other? Would some of you just turn to each other and start praying for each other right where you at, right where you're at? This whole room is a prayer room, right? Some of you might be feeling like a push to pray for your neighbor and just turn and go, how can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Some of you may want to walk forward. That's great too. And we want this whole room to be a prayer room where we are going, Lord, we want more of you. And I love my friend Ron Davis. He said this. He said, Matthew, when we pray asking for more of God, that really means that God gets more of us. You know what I mean? It's that we become more yielded to him. God in his fullness is ready to give you all of himself. But when we say, God, I want more of you, really that's God going, yeah, yield a little bit more to me. Yield a bit more of your life over to me, right? Open up, open up. I want all of you. So would you yield more of your life to him? Can you stand right now? Let's stand together. We're going to pray. We're going to have some time of ministry here together. And I want to ask you, where is Jesus asking you to take a risk today? That's faith, right? Faith is taking a risk. It's stepping out. It's going, God, I know you'll catch me here. And so I want to step out. And where is he calling you to take a risk today? Maybe let's spend a moment, let's close our eyes. For those of you who want to, you can kind of have your hands stretched out. This is a posture of receiving from the Lord. And as we come, just know the Holy Spirit is gentle. He'll move gently. Holy Spirit, we know that you love us deeply, and we know that it's your great delight to point us to the Father. And we know that we are not alone because we have you. We know that we're not alone because we have the great comforter, the advocate, the helper. And would you once again come alongside us here today and give us words to pray? Give us hope for today. Show us that that life is not hopeless, that it can be filled with hope because you're alive, Jesus, because you rose from the dead, because you stand victorious, and because you have given us your very presence. And we are so loved. And so would you come and minister here today? God, I don't know what you want to do in the next 15 minutes or so as we're worshiping, but Lord, would you do it? Would you unlock hearts? Would you heal people of fear? And would you pour the love of God upon this place? We want to remain open. And so, Lord, we just come to you and we confess that we're sorry when we've closed off, when we've treated one of your gifts poorly. We apologize for that, and we come and we remain open to your work. Romans 5:5, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit.